So now we come to the next thing, and of course, we can learn a lot of things from that that passage, the passage that we read in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 onwards. He was just waiting, See, of course, we need a desire about the people who are perishing. We need a passion for them that is there, but at the same time, we need to wait upon the Lord, because this is not just our burden, it is the burden of the Lord also. Okay, many of you know that I was deeply involved with the ministry of ICBF for 10 years from the very beginning, in 1980 to 1990. 1980, we together started ICBF in 1980. I was one among them who started it, but I was working for 10 years. Then all of a sudden, God was asking me to change or shift or, you know, do something in North India. So I was waiting for God's call. In 1994, I went to North India. I went to a place called Damo. So we had a burden about that place, and we thought we are the only people who have a burden about that place. So when we reached there, we understood that there was a group of people, women, who were praying for 10 years to send some missionaries to that place. You understand? We thought it was our burden, and no one else in the world is concerned about the place called Damo. But that was not the reality. God has preserved somebody who is having a fire in their heart for the perishing souls of that city and the place called Bundelkhand. And they were praying and praying for 10 years. What was their prayer? Lord, send somebody so that these people will hear the gospel and accept you as their personal savior. So that's the reason why I said, many times God is giving us a burden, of course, that's there. But don't think that you are unique and you are the only person from where this burden is coming. I say the burden is imparted to all these people, to us, and also to the people who were praying for that place. It is imparted, it is given by the Holy Spirit. It is the burden of the Lord. That's what we see in the vision of Isaiah. Isaiah thought it is he who is concerned. He is the only person who is concerned about the people living around him. But God says, I'm concerned about them. I'm certainly concerned about them. And when God's concern and your concern, God's burden and your burden becomes one, you get me? Then certainly God will appoint you, commission you to that place. That's what is needed. And it is not just a desire, it is more than a desire. Many times desire is good, and that's just the beginning. It's just a beginning. Okay? What is more than that? It is a passion. It is not just a desire, it is a passion. It's a passion. So, where do you want to go? Sometimes, you know, people ask me, or this is a question in the mind of many of the people who want to do ministry. Where shall I go? I tell you, what is your biggest passion? Who is in your mind? If your passion is towards sick people, then go to a hospital and share gospel with them. If your passion is the poor people and the people who live in the streets, then you are allowed. Of course, you know, I'm sure God will send you to that place. If your passion is rich people and miserably rich people, sometimes, you know, we call they are miserably poor. But I tell, I have seen miserably rich people. You understand the difference? So the poverty is not the most miserable thing in the world. I sometimes believe it is richness. When you're rich, you become miserable. So if you are concerned about those people, that's the burden. If that's the burden God has given in your heart, I ask you, or I tell you, God wants you to do something for them. If your passion is the students, if you are very much concerned about people, the students who are perishing in the campus, if you see people who are going to hell, heading towards hell, whenever you see people or students, you just look at them and you are understanding that they are in the hit list of Satan. This is what we see in the campus, right? Very handful of people are there who are heading towards heaven. Most of the people, they are miserably, that's the word that I use, miserably confused and used by Satan. Even they do not know that they are weapons in the hands of Satan. They are heading towards hell. If that is your passion, that is your burden. It's not just a burden, it's a passion, I told you. And you know, you are sold out. There's a word we say, sold out. What do you mean by sold out? That means you have nothing else in your mind. Okay? When you are sold out for a certain thing, you do not think something else. You're always thinking about doing or finding a way to do it. Because you're sold out. All your heart is for that. All your heart. So this is what is passion. That's the reason why I say it is much different than desire. Desire is needed, but desire is just a beginning. But when your desire becomes a burden, then you are sold out and now it is your passion. Okay? This is a growth. Of course, we need desire. And when it becomes a passion, you have nothing else in your mind. When you go to bed, you dream about your vision. And when you are awake, you want to do something for your mission. This is what is passion. Taking the case of Isaiah, what do we see there? Isaiah is cleansed. And he is much worried about people who are with unclean lips. So what is his desire? That's my question. What is his desire? He wants to see that those people should become like him. You get me, my friends? It's not that Isaiah is not looking with jealousy towards other people. He is not looking like that. Sometimes the problem with even Christian students, you know, they're looking the other people, oh, he's a rich person, he's having this thing, oh, he's enjoying. I'm sorry, I cannot do like that. You never see things in such a way. You need to see that you are much higher than all these people. You are cleansed. And those people are unclean people. And in your heart, you need to have a desire that all those people should become like you. You get me, my friends? Never try to become like them. When we are in campus as students, young guys and girls, I know that you are living in a world of vanity. What's the problem with vanity? Vanity shows something outside, but there is nothing inside. That is vanity. Vanity is not just emptiness. Vanity is emptiness inside. But there is something outside. And when you look at these people, the students who seems to be enjoying, but what is the reality? The reality, they are in vanity. They have nothing in their heart, in their mind. And finally, you know, when you see them in with a spiritual eye, then you know that they are heading towards nothing. What is your desire, dream about these people? You are looking. You want to see. Your desire is that these people should become like me. That's what makes us different. Everybody in the world, they want to become like somebody else. Everybody in the world, they are looking to people who seems to be higher than them. If I were like him, that's the desire of most of the people, right? If I were like him. But when you are a Christian, when you know that you are cleansed, when you know that you are going to heaven and those people are going to hell, you always want to see what? That they are becoming like you. That's your desire, right? They are becoming like you. So that's why even Paul, when he was before a king and the king was hearing him, and the king was asking him, Paul, do you think that you can make me a Christian by your mere some words? Do you think that I also will embrace Christianity just because of your words? You know what Paul says? That's my desire. That time Paul was a prisoner, you know that. A prisoner says to the king that I would like you to become like me. Normally a prisoner always want to become like a king, right? But this prisoner says, it is my desire, not only you, my king, all who hear my message, they all should become like me, except these chains. This is the difference. So Isaiah, now he is cleansed. And he wants all of them, they all become like him. Like him means in which way? They all should be cleansed. That's why he was waiting. And the seraphim, he cleansed. And finally, he was hearing the voice of the Lord. And we see that God is sending him out. He was expecting the seraphim will give him a piece of burning coal so that he can go out with that burning coal and touch the mouths of all the people who are with unclean lips. So yes, now sometimes we expect some miracle. We expect something like that. Oh Lord, give me an ability to perform a miracle so that I can win all the people. So let me go out with the burning coal that I may get from this altar. But God was not giving him a piece of coal. You know what God says? Now you are cleansed. You are touched. Your mouth is touched by the fire from on high. Your tongue is a fire now. You get me, my friends? Now your tongue is a fire. Don't expect a call from the altar. Don't expect to make some miracles or, you know, perform a miracle and these kind of things. When you are touched, maybe you are miraculously healed and miraculously you were cleansed. A lot of miracle happened in your life. That's good. But going out, it is not with all miracles and all. With what? A cleansed tongue. That's all. Now your tongue is a fire. And that is enough to cleanse the people with unclean lips. So you are equipped. You are equipped. Not with the ability to perform miracles. If you can, or if God wants you to perform miracles, I'm not against that. But don't withdraw because, I'm not seeing any burning coal in my hands. God has not given me a special gift of healing. God has not given me a special gift of performing miracles. Then how can I go and share gospel with people? No. What is needed is only one thing. A cleansed tongue. If you are cleansed, you are capable, you are able, and you have all the right to go out and preach gospel. And your burden is the thing that helps you to receive the commissioning of the Lord. When you have a desire, that becomes a burden, and a burden becomes a passion. And when it is a passion, you are sold out. So that's the only thing in your mind. You are always thinking about people who are perishing. If you are concerned about the student community, then certainly God will give you a chance to speak to them with the cleansed tongue, and then certainly those people also will be cleansed. Okay? So this is what we see about passion. And you're sold out. And now, why we need a vision? Why we need a vision? A lot of things I need to say about it. But I would like to read a passage. It is 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 26. Well, I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But I pummel my body and subdue it, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. See, I do not run aimlessly. Paul says that I have an aim. I have a target. You get me? Paul says that I have a target. This is the biggest thing that we receive when we have a vision. We will have a target. We are not beating the bush. Normally we say, he's just beating the bush. Some people are like that. We used to say, jack of everything, master of nothing. So many times we are like that. We just involved with everything, everything. We go here, there, do this, that, that. Finally, you know, there's no result. And even we do not know what we did. Just beating the bush or beating in the air. We have no target. But you know, if you are a man of vision, a woman of vision, a boy of vision, a girl of vision, then you have a target. So you're not just beating the air. This is the biggest thing that we receive when we have a vision. And also, of course, you know, this is the first thing I just want to say. I'm just rushing forward. We know that for everything, if we need to do something or gain something or see something is happening, we need to see that we are concentrating on something. Okay? Concentrating means, you know, it's not that you are not eating, you are not drinking, nothing like that. But you eat, you drink, you study, everything you're doing. But what is the first thing that comes to your mind? That's your target. You understand? What is the first thing that comes to your mind? First thing. First things first. Seteo. That's a Greek word. Seteo. First things first. What is the first thing? And even Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. That's the only thing that should come to your mind. You are living for that. You are living for that. You are not living for something else. Sometimes people think, yeah, that is, you know, that is something that we need to think about. But it is not just something or one thing that you need to think about. It is the only thing you need to think about. As students, maybe you're studying good, and maybe you're doing a lot of things in your college, in your campus, or you know, in your home, in your public life, it's all there. But what is your passion? You know, in these days, everybody asks you to be ambitious. Ambitious. Always plan things in future. Of course, I'm not against that, thinking about it, but worrying about it, it is, of course, against the Bible. Worrying. You need not worry about your future. That's what the Bible says. Okay? You are students, you need to study, but your passion should not be study if you are a true Christian. Your passion always should be the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Even as a student. Even as a student. That doesn't mean that you're going to fail in your exams and all. We all were students when we speak. Normally when I am in Africa, I used to say to the people, especially the young guys, when I speak about holiness and all, I tell them, don't think that I came to this world with gray mustache and all. I came here as a small boy, I mean small baby, and I was growing as a boy, a teenager, a college student. I was living in campus, in hostel, and you know, I was studying. So I know the struggles you are having in your life and what kind of mindset you have as a student. I know it. But I tell you from my experience, my friends, my passion when I was a student, it was not my studies. That doesn't mean that I failed all exams. I got good marks in my exams. And at the same time, I was not just going to campus. I was not just living for marks. I was not just living for studies. My passion was the perishing students, campus community. That was my passion. I'm bold enough to say that. I'm bold enough to say that. And that's why I said I was one of the founding members of ICPF as a student. As a student. That I was not a college professor or an engineer or doctor or a journalist. I was a student, but I had that passion. And I was working among the student community as a student. I started working among the community as a student. And I used to preach like I do now, even when I was a student. That is my passion. But I tell you, because I was doing all these things, I was not failing all exams at all. But that was not my passion. You get me, my friends? Your passion should be something. Of course, you need to think about your responsibilities. As a student, you have responsibility. I used to tell my own children that I never force them to study, but I tell what the Bible says. Whenever you do something, even if it is eating and drinking, whatever you do in your life, even small things or big things, do it as if you are doing it for the Lord. You get me? Whatever you are doing, even if it is eating and drinking, do it as if you are doing it for the Lord. If that is the case, how much more as a student when you study? Don't study for your parents. Don't study for your teacher. Don't study for somebody else. Don't study for a career. Don't study for, you remember what I mean? What I say? Even I'm not asking people to study for a career. No, study as if you are studying for the Lord. You get me, my friends? When you're doing it, when you do something for the Lord, you do it in the best way. Am I right? See, sometimes I say, we have some laborers in our house do some work, and when they come, when they are asking for some water, do you think that we are taking the crystals we kept in back in our room and take it and give water in that crystals when a laborer is asking for some water? Do you think that we'll do that? No, because it's a normal thing. They are normal people, so we give water in normal tumblers or glasses, right? It is normal because we are doing it for a laborer. It's normal. We are not seeing them down. We are not looking at them down. No, they are equal with us, maximum. So the glasses that we use, we give it to the laborers. It's the same. The same glasses that we are using, we are giving it to our laborers or servants. But when a distinguished guest is coming, we are not giving the same tumbler, but we take the crystals and we pour water into it, clean it and pour water into it and give it to them in a very, you know, in a tray. You know why? We honor that person, right? We honor that person. It's the same. When you're doing it for the Lord, you are doing it differently. That's the reason why I ask you, even when you're studying, I'm asking you, do your studies, study well, because you need to do it as if you're doing it for the Lord. And that's the reality. That's the reality. Okay? But at the same time, your passion, I tell you, my friends, studies should not be your passion. Your passion should be for the, you know, you need to, you reserve it, your passion, you need to reserve it for God's kingdom and His righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That means what you need to do is to keep everything for the king and his kingdom. And the king will do the rest of the things. You get me? When you are doing things of the king will do things that you need. Okay. See, here vision helps you to have a target. That becomes your passion. What is your target? As a campus student, a student leader, you need to see that your passion is the perishing student community. And then certainly your life will be different. And the next thing, the vision helps you to see things differently. When you have a vision, you will see things differently. When you are commissioned, when we look at the story of Isaiah, you know what you are, we see a different thing. He had a desire Of course, he understood that he is a man with unclean lips. He was cleansed and he was much concerned about the people who are with unclean lips. Okay? And he was cleansed by the fire from on high or from the altar. And he was still waiting for a commissioning. He knew that he was cleansed and he was not running out. Oh, I'm much concerned about people who are with unclean lips. Let me go first. No, he was waiting. He was sitting in the presence of God to hear a voice from him, a commissioning. And he heard God was asking, whom shall I send? Who will go for me? Okay? Go for us. Then he was just saying, yes, send me, Lord. I have the same burden, passion. Now I'm happy because you are, it is your burden. Because I thought it is my burden, but now I understand that it is your burden. If you sit in the presence of God, you will get an assurance that you are not the only person who is burdened about the perishing student community, but it is the prime concern of God Himself. So when you share the burden of God, when you are carrying the burden the Lord has, then what happens? He will say, okay, I'm sending you. I'm sending you. Now you can go out and share gospel. Now you hold something. Now you have something in your mind, in your heart, in your life. Now you are confident. Now you have assurance because you are commissioned. Okay? This is an assurance. It's a great assurance. This is what we need. We need to hear the voice of the Lord. Yesterday I was telling that you need to keep a constant communication with the Holy Spirit. Then what happens? He says, son, I am sending you. Hey, that's something great. I am sending you to the student community. I am sending you to the people who are sick. I am sending you to the people who are perishing. That's something great, right? When you hear that voice, when you have a vision, that gives you an assurance of your call, a confidence about your call. Because you are so happy because God has something to do through you. And you are just an instrument and you represent God. When somebody is asking me to do, a distinguished person is asking me to do something or go and tell, suppose a big guy is asking me, okay, can you be my representative? Go to the people, go to some people and say this on behalf of me. Then you'll be proud of going there, right? Because you are not on your own. You are standing in the shoes of that person. And what all things that you say, it is not your words. It is the words of the guy, the person who sent you, right? So that's something different. It's a big confidence. It's an assurance. So the vision gives you an assurance and also a confidence. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Even Paul says, Paul was a big guy, but he says, the things that I had in my earlier life or things that I thought once big gain, I do not think it as a gain now. It's a loss. But I'm not losing my heart because I lost all those things. Because I have something else. Something more. What's it? Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. What does it mean? I had many things. I lost everything. But I do not lose heart. You know why? Because by the mercy of God, I have this ministry. Because I know that I am commissioned by God. I know that I am representing God. I know that I have something to do. I have something to do. I am a person who has something to do. That's a big thing. There are many people who have nothing to do. Okay? That is the biggest disaster. When you think, when you understand you have nothing to do, that's the biggest disaster. I heard about the story of a person who committed suicide. He don't think that he was a person who failed everywhere. No, he was always winning in his life. He started his business as a small business person. Then it was growing, and he became he was the CEO of that company, and that company bought hundreds of companies in the world, and he was doing everything, and wherever, as we see, if he touches something, it becomes gold. And he was doing everything. Finally, you know, he had nothing to do. One day, he committed suicide. And his suicide note, he said, I'm committing suicide because I have nothing else to do. I have done everything that I could. And now, it is finished. Because I have nothing to do. Okay? So that is the biggest disaster. A person who has nothing to do. What is the joy in our life? The biggest joy in the life is seeing that you have two things. I will tell two things. Many times people are dissatisfied because when they look back, they say, oh, I did not do anything that I ought to do. I was not doing all the things that I ought to do. That's also a disaster. Then you will be in despair, right? You'll be in despair. You say, oh, that's the biggest problem with many people. And some people do not know even what they ought to do. That is another disaster. But when you understand that you were supposed to do something and you failed to do that in your life, that's also a disaster. So what is a life that is a blessing? A blessed life is seeing that you have done what you ought to do in the past and seeing that something is there to do tomorrow. You get me? Seeing that you have finished your race. Finish your race means it is not reaching the final target. When I am running a marathon race, don't think that, you know, I'm always sad because I did not touch the finishing line. Will you be sad because, have you ever seen a person who is running a race, a marathon race, he is always crying, oh, I'm sorry, I did not touch the finishing line while he was running. Have you ever seen that? No. He's running and running and running. He is just looking one thing. Did I finish the expected distance I ought to run by this time? This is the life of a Christian. If you look things like this, I look at the things like this way. I'm a man with contentment. I used to say, I'm a man with contentment. I have no ambitions left in my life or in ministry. I'm just looking at what I have done in the past. I just look. I'm not looking and worrying. Always my eyes are ahead. I'm looking at the target. But I'm not crying and running. I'm just smiling and running. Because I'm a man with contentment. I'm happy. I have run the race. I have not yet finished the race. I have run the race. Of course, there is a certain distance I need to finish. But still I'm happy. I'm happy because I've run the race as I ought to run. That's my understanding. I'm not always crying, oh, I failed in my past life. Maybe there are many failures, but you know, God was helping me to come out of all my failures. And still, I'm running. When you go to bed, look at your life, today's life, and see that I have run the race for today. Make sure. So every day you need to revise the path that you have given by God to run. So make sure that you're doing it. And also, you know, if I wake up tomorrow, then certainly I have something else to do. Okay? But because I have a target. I don't mind if I die today. Doesn't matter. I'm not crying. Oh, I should not die today. Because I have no problem. I'm a man with contentment. There is something special about Christian life. Every time you are touching the finishing line. You get me? This evening I am touching the finishing line. And that's enough. When I go to bed, I make sure that I touch the finishing line. Maybe tomorrow there is another race. If there is no race, it's okay. But I reach heaven after finishing my race. You get me, my friends? This is something great. So it's the same. When you are in the campus, do the things that you ought to do the day that you are living in your campus. Maybe tomorrow, God wants you to do something else. Every day, touch the finishing line. Every day. Let's close our eyes. Hallelujah. In the vision of Isaiah, of course, he was cleansed and he had a burden for the perishing soul. And then he understood that it is not just his burden. Even God had this burden. As student leaders in the campuses, let me encourage you, my young children, that it is not just your burden. God is burdened about the perishing student community. God is burdened about the perishing student community. So my friends, I appreciate you. If you have the same burden, that's something great, because the burden that you bear in your heart, it is not just your burden. It is you are sharing or carrying the burden of God. So when your burden and God's burden, when it is one, then certainly God will commission you. Wait for that. He will commission you. You'll hear the voice of the Lord. You need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Then go, and you'll have a confidence, a vision that helps you to find a target. Now you have something to do. You're not just beating the bush. You are not raising your fist towards the air. You have a target. But that doesn't mean that you are finishing your target in a day. You can be a man of contentment if you see that you are finishing your race, today's race. That is the difference in Christian life. In Christian life, our race, every day we will see a finishing point. The race that you need to run today, when you finish it, you are a winner. Maybe a big distance you will see in your future life. That's there. But you can be satisfied, content, happy because you have finished today's race. Make sure that you are finishing today's race. Touch the finishing line which you are supposed to finish today. And certainly you are a winner. You are victorious. When you reach heaven, then certainly you will hear the voice, "Good and faithful servant, enter into your master's joy." So that's the biggest thing that encourages us. And that helps you to see things differently. You are a person who has something to do. It is a disaster that we are living a life without an aim, a target. But now you understand that I have something to do. God has entrusted me something. Because of the mercies of God, as we do have this ministry, we do not lose our heart. That is the big thing about commissioning. So hear the voice of the Lord. Then even when you lose everything in your life, in the physical manner, still you will be happy because you have a commissioning. Hallelujah. Ask God, Lord, I need to hear the voice of the Lord. Send me Jesus. I have a burden for the student community. And then certainly God will send you. Here am I. Send me. It's a small thing, but you need to hear that voice. Here am I. Send me. Here am I. Send me. As the Lord wants somebody, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. As the Lord wants somebody, here am I, send me. May God bless you.